Hello again, everyone. This is Wheelchair Philosophy. My name is Zach Schmall, with you as always on this once-a-week podcast. And if you were here last week, you heard a little bit about what I want this podcast to be about. I've tagged it as like Armchair Philosophy, but cooler. So the idea is Armchair Philosophy is normal people talking about issues and thoughts and concepts and current events in such a way that we're thoughtful and we're considerate and we think about the issues. But we're normal people, we're not highly technical. I think I'm pretty normal, I assume you're pretty normal. And so we engage in this kind of active discussion, armchair philosophy. But because it's you and me, clearly we're cooler than most people, so that's why it's cooler. Again, I encourage discussion. I want you to hit up the comments underneath, leave me your thoughts about what I've talked about, if you have any input, if you have something you want me to talk about in the future, if I was entirely wrong and I need to be put in my place, hey, put that out there too. So I think that pretty much, you know, tells you your role. My role is to talk, your job is to respond, my job is to respond to you. I think that's how we can have a productive conversation and maybe learn a little bit more about each other, learn a little bit more about each other's thoughts and different perspectives, and truly engage in dialogue, which is really what I want out of this. I like to talk to people, and you can help me do that. You're the audience, so you need to be active here. I don't want you to just come and listen to me and go away. Get involved in the conversation. Well, it was Thanksgiving this past week, and happy belated. I hope you had a great one with your family and friends. I think that it was a pretty snowy one here in Vermont, but, you know, it worked out well. Family and friends and things like that, and I hope that yours was as good as mine was. But I was sitting here on Thanksgiving, and I was thinking about myself and about Thanksgiving. I think about on that day, we're particularly thankful as Christians. We thank God for all that He's done for us. We serve a God who is incredibly generous and has given us so much that He deserves our thanks. However, I noticed that Thanksgiving is really an American cultural holiday as well, and I recognize that there's a lot of people out there who probably celebrate Thanksgiving who don't believe in God or any type of higher power at all. And so I was kind of wondering, and this is probably where you can come into the discussion and talk to me about what do you give thanks to on Thanksgiving. For example, again, I give thanks to God. Or here's an everyday example for you. I am in a wheelchair, as you know, and I go to the store, and someone holds the door for me. I say thank you. They've done something for me, and I thank them. I thank a person. Thanks need to be directed to someone. They're not just kind of a generic, oh, thank you, no one. Thanks are directed, thank you. It's directed to you. It's directed to a person or a thing. And so I was wondering, you know, on Thanksgiving, certainly a lot of people talk about being thankful for all that they have. And I just was wondering, from perhaps a more secular worldview than my own, where do you point the thanks to? And why do you thank anyone at all? Isn't the universe just kind of random chance that happened to fall your way? Or, I mean, is there a sense of purpose or teleology in the universe that, you know, or something like that? I don't know. It's not my worldview, so I don't want to necessarily speak for you, but I think that's something you could definitely put in the comments below, hint. But, I was just thinking about that on Thanksgiving. Who do you give thanks to if there's no one to give thanks to for all that we have? I mean, certainly we can be thankful to our friends and our family and things like that, but there are also things, like we say we're thankful for our health. That's awesome. I'm thankful for my health. I assume most people are. But that's not something I control or you control or your parents control or your siblings control. That is simply, I believe, a gift from God. But where does that come from in a more secular, naturalistic worldview? Anyway, I'd love to hear you chime in about that. But regardless, happy Thanksgiving to all of you, and, well, happy Black Friday, too, but that's another story. I did want to move on, though, to this interview I read in Cherwell. It's a newspaper in the UK, and there was an article written by Dan Hitchens on Thursday, November 27th, 2014. I'll put the link below, but it was an interview with Tanny Gray Thompson. Now, it was a name that was unfamiliar to me, and I'm kind of ashamed to say that after reading about all that she's done. She's won 11 Paralympic gold medals in wheelchair racing. She's a breaker of 35 world records, and she's a member of the British House of Lords. So she goes by Baroness Gray Thompson. And I wish I hadn't lived in the UK because I would love to have a title like that. I'd like to be Baron Schmal or something like that, but I don't think I'm ever going to have a cool title like that. But that's beside the point. The reason I bring this article up, it was shared on Facebook by one of my professors at Houston Baptist University, Holly Ordway, and she's the professor for my class on medieval philosophy. She has her PhD from UMass Amherst, and she posted this article about Baroness Gray Thompson and the debate over assisted suicide in Great Britain. And Gray Thompson, again, is in an interesting position because she has a disability herself. And so she brings this disability rights kind of perspective to the argument that I think is oftentimes overlooked. And I've tried to advocate for. I know there are plenty of people out there who have tried to advocate for it, but they really don't necessarily get the mainstream attention because there are simply not many of us. Our Gray Thompson has spina bifida. She's a wheelchair user, obviously. She competes in wheelchair racing at an extraordinarily high level. So she's kind of in a boat where many people would say she might have maybe a lower quality of life. She's not as independent as she might be, although she seems to do quite well for herself. But those are certainly arguments that, I don't know, most people with disabilities have probably heard that, oh, you live with less independence or something like that. I know I've heard them, and for me, I know that's true. I don't have 100% independence. But regardless, this article about assisted suicide, she argues that this is really bad for disability rights and for people with disabilities. She says the right to die can become a duty to die. And this is something I've thought about in the past. You all know I live in Vermont, and we passed a law that does not carry legal action against physicians who prescribe lethal doses of medication. So it's essentially a death with dignity law. It's not a euthanasia law, but we've had these debates about these end-of-life issues here in Vermont. And I was at the State House when they had the open forum where people presented for or against why it should be legal, why it shouldn't be legal. And so, you know, it's certainly an issue that I've seen around me in my life here. And this idea of the right to die can become a duty to die. And here's what she's trying to get across. And again, this is controversial, so I'd love to get your take on it. I know there are a variety of opinions on it, and I'd be happy to talk more about it. But her general argument is that there's this idea that perhaps if you have a right to end your life, perhaps you should end your life. You have a duty to do it if you are a burden on society. And I know that sounds pretty apocalyptic, but it's really not that far-fetched. You think about it, and so a right to die. People have a right to die if they're suffering. That's how most of these laws seem to work out. You need to have some kind of lethal diagnosis. You're going to die in the relatively short term, and you need to have basically very little hope of surviving. I won't say no hope because I don't believe there's ever a situation where there is no hope, but you have to have a very low probability of survival. And instead of facing the oncoming suffering, people will argue it's more dignified to be able to end your life now while you're not suffering and not in pain. You can do it in your time and have a peaceful end. There are a lot of issues with that idea. But anyway, moving on, it's important to remember that people in this situation who are going to be utilizing this law are having a good quality of life. They're rather independent, and they're going to be losing that. That's pretty much the idea. You have a lethal diagnosis, and as you go downhill, you don't want to go downhill, so therefore you want to end it before you go downhill. What about those of us who already live at the bottom of the hill? What about people like myself who have severely reduced muscle strength, or people who live in chronic pain? I'm thankful that's not me. But I do have a lack of independence, and that, according to an article I read in the New England Journal of Medicine, is something that really freaks out a lot of people when they come to the end of life and they hit terminal illness. They're really irritated that they're going to lose that independence that they've had their whole lives. People don't like to give up their autonomy. I don't blame them. But what about those of us who live that way right now because of a disability or because of something of that nature that comes beyond our control? What does this law say about those of us? It's almost as if the lawmakers are saying, we want to pass a law so that we never have to live our lives in the way that people with disabilities have to live right now. What kind of stigma does that put on people with disability? I think that it puts a light that at least we're not like them and we don't ever want to be like them. Now, that's problematic on many levels, but if you think about this idea of not wanting to have to live a life that is a reality for thousands of people around the world, is that ever going to change societal perceptions of those of us who do have to live in that situation? For example, myself. Again, I have reduced muscle strength. You all know that about me. Now, I can't choose to get my muscle strength back. It's just not there. I don't produce a particular protein, and that's kind of the way it is, unfortunately. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that I want to end it all right now. I think I have a good quality of life, and I enjoy the way I'm living. I think that it would be interesting, though, to put this on someone who had a fully active life and to see that muscle strength slip away. Again, it's that fear of losing their independence. That is a big deal, according to the New England Journal of Medicine. It's a big problem for these people, and so I worry that maybe the societal perception of people who have disability is going to really become something that we don't want. And I don't mean to be high on the slippery slope here. I don't tend to be sounding like, ooh, the sky is falling, watch out. But I do want to point out that it doesn't seem to be healthy from a disability rights perspective. It doesn't seem to be healthy from this idea that we want to empower people with disabilities to recognize that they are full people. I consider myself just as much of a person as anyone else. And I would hope that you all agree with me on that. And so it's kind of insulting in a way when people say, well, we don't want to have to live through suffering because we don't want to be like that, when that is something that is reality for so many people around the world. And so I think that as we read this article, this interview from the Baroness, and as you listen to me, I'd love to get a little more feedback from you on that. I'd love to dialogue a little bit more about this idea. What do you think? Is it a problem when the right to die almost becomes a duty to die, in the sense that maybe everyone shouldn't, see their own value as people because, they're taking up resources or they're being a burden on society that maybe they shouldn't be. Maybe they shouldn't have this problem because we don't want to live like that, so maybe they shouldn't want to live like that either. And then you have another problem of people imposing their views on the views of people with disabilities, when really it's a different thing to talk about disability and to live it. Well, I think that's a lot of ideas that I just kind of threw out there for you, and I'd love to hear, you know, your thoughts on it at the end. If you want to talk about Thanksgiving and how you give thanks for some of these things that I would attribute to God and thank Him for, such as my health and my life and things like that, who are you thanking, if you're from a secular perspective? Or if you want to talk about this idea of disability and the right to die, and when does this idea of the right to die kind of impinge on our kind of dignity and personhood of people who live in these situations that many people turn to this law to avoid from having to be like them. Is it insulting to not want to be like them, like us who have disabilities? I don't know. But anyway, I'd love to hear what you have to say, and thanks as always. Feel free to come back whenever you want, and have a great rest of your hopefully long weekend, and enjoy. Bye.